Enough with Tiger King. After weeks of quarantine, it's time for some new TV recommendations. So let's bring in NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Well, I have to say, TV has been saving this quarantine for so many of us, even though Hollywood has shut down along with everything else. And there are a lot of shows in the pipeline about to come out. What's on your radar?
Yeah, this is a really interesting time because on the one hand, of course, they're not making any new shows, but there seems to be a ton of shows coming out. I mean, especially this week, we saw the end of a much-beloved series, Schitt's Creek, on Pop TV. Mm-hmm. We saw the finale after 11 seasons of Modern Family on ABC. We saw Jimmy Kimmel become the new host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on ABC. Mm-hmm. And we've also got a bunch of new shows debuting this week and this weekend. So one of the first shows I wanted to talk about was The Good Fight. Now, this show is a spinoff of The Good Wife, which was on CBS. And in this new season that starts, they're really pushing the boundaries of storytelling. The main character, Diana Lockhart, is having a dream in the first episode back where Hillary Clinton was elected president instead of Donald Trump. And because of that, a bunch of things happen, including different people on the Supreme Court. Let's listen to this clip.
Merrick Garland and Elizabeth Warren are on the Supreme Court.
You're worrying me, Diane.
What happened to Kavanaugh?
Who's that?
She can barely contain her glee. But then she later finds out that the Me Too movement never happened. Hmm. And because of that, Harvey Weinstein is still a respected producer in Hollywood. So this is a show that I felt has always been a good legal drama that never got the attention it deserved because it airs on a streaming service, CBS All Access. And so they seem to be pushing for a more provocative storylines that maybe will get them some more attention. But it also means that the storylines are a little less believable. But for people who love the show, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting storylines there.
BBC America also returned this week with their offbeat thriller, Killing Eve. What do you make of this season?
So this is another show that started really strong in its first season, but seemed to have problems in its second season sustaining this really unique chemistry between the lead character, Eve Pilastri, played by Sandra Oh, who's a sort of workaday, a typical analyst for British intelligence, who somehow has this ability to predict what this master assassin named Villanelle is going to do. They have a bond that's at least romantic in Villanelle's eyes. She is attracted to Sandra Oh's character. And at the end of the last season, we saw Villanelle thought that she had killed Sandra Oh's character, but she hadn't. And so now, as the new season opens, Villanelle is starting her life over with somebody new. But because she's a psychopath, she isn't quite able to make this relationship work. She's giving a speech at her own wedding and has a little trouble because she's a little self-focused and she's a little homicidal. Let's check it out.
When we'd met, I just had a really bad breakup. But when I think about my ex today, I realize I am so much happier now she's dead.
Yeah, and so the people in the party don't quite know what to make out of that. But of course, eventually, these two characters come to realize that they're both still alive. This is a really interesting show. I loved it in its first season, not so much in the second season. In the third season, I really want to see these characters in action again. I'm still not sure the writers of the show have figured out how to keep the storylines going in a way that re-engages that feeling that we got watching the first season when it felt so fresh mm-hmm. and so different and so new.
So, Eric, you know what I've been watching throughout this entire quarantine?
Uh-oh, what?
Insecure from beginning to now. And that makes me so excited awesome. To say that the new season is coming out this weekend, season 4 of Insecure. This is the show that stars Issa Rae as a young Black woman trying to make it in LA. It's on HBO. What can you tell us about season 4?
So season 4 opens with Issa declaring that she is done messing around with the woman who's been her best friend through a lot of it, Molly. Their friendship seems like it's always on the verge of kind of falling apart. And we see in the beginning of this, the first episode of this new season, that it actually has. And then it goes back to tell us the story of how it happened.
Well, I have to say, the other thing I love about the show Insecure is it is such a love letter to Los Angeles. It makes L.A. look so great.
Exactly.
And really feels real, feels like real L.A.
Well, I got to tell you, the thing that's also kind of bizarre is to see this storyline play out in a world where there is no coronavirus lockdown.
Yeah.
So she's planning a block party with a bunch of people. And all these folks are hanging out. And it's almost like, you know, it's not only a love letter to L.A. Watching it in these times is a love letter to the kind of life that we used to have before we had to worry about a pandemic.
There will be block parties again. I know there will be block parties again at some point.
I am Eric trusting Deggans, you, my friend.
That is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.